Hello and welcome to Pumped, the inside podcast by Schwalbe. I'm your host Tobias Wogon, and I'm talking here with Schwalbe athletes from different disciplines, from downhill to cross country, or from triathlon to road riding. And today I'm talking to Brittany Boone, who used to be a cyclocross racer and switched to gravel in 2019. In this podcast, we talked about the difference between cyclocross and gravel and the special energy of a gravel race. Hey, Brittany, thank you so much for taking the time to do the podcast with us. Where are you right now?
Hi, I'm in New York City. I'm in my apartment. I'm on the Upper West Side, and there might be some drilling outside my window. So you can just let me know if that's super annoying or a dog barking or whatever, but you know, the usual New York City stuff.
I think that's totally fine. So I just ask you about your name because it's Brittany, but the B is in capital and the L is in capital. And you told me no. I should ask you on the podcast. So what is the story behind your name, Brittany?
My name is Britt. And my middle name is Lee, and my last name is Bowman. And basically, like when I was 12 or so, I decided to just put Britt and Lee together as one word because people kept calling me Brittany. But that's not my name, it's just Britt. And then Lee is my middle name. So I put them together, told people that was my name, and then it stuck. So okay. So here we are a million years later. And yeah, my name's Brittany.
Okay. So you're a gravel racer, a team manager and from a cyclocross team, and you're team owner of a woman's gravel team. And yeah. This all together so much more than a hobby. How did you get into cycling and in all these jobs?
I rode a bike as a kid, but it wasn't like a big thing in, you know, my childhood, and there was never any competitive aspect to it. And I played sports in high school, like volleyball and basketball, but I was in a small school and it wasn't very, like, you know, it was anybody could be on the team kind of situation. And then I went to college and I wasn't able to be on a team during college. So I went to the gym and that was okay. But basically in senior year of college, I started riding a bike to my classes. And I also at the same time sort of met some people in Providence, where I was going to college, Providence, mm-hmm. Rhode Island. I started meeting people who were riding bikes around town. And, you know, it just seemed like this community that I like wanted to know more about. And I ended up getting another bike that was a little bit better than the one I was using from childhood to get around, but then that got stolen. And then I decided to buy like a real bike. You know, the other one had been from the thrift store, but I decided to go to the bike shop and like get a real bike. So I did that. I got a fixed gear and was riding that around town to go to class and also like going to like warehouse parties and stuff, and being a part of this community that I really like thought was awesome. And so that really is what got me into bikes, was like transportation and community and new experiences. Mm-hmm. But then also somebody asked if I wanted to do like an alley cat race, like a street checkpoint race. And and I was like, oh, sure. You know, and this is only like a month into me riding the bike. So I did that. I ended up winning for the women's group, and I won like a bag, and I was like, this is amazing. So cool. And just like the whole environment of it was so much fun. I loved Well, I really love the checkpoint aspect of it, but, you know, like figuring stuff out on the fly. I thought it was super cool. So I was immediately hooked to bike racing that way. But then you asked a lot of other things. I don't know. My bike experience stuff has, you know, now it's like become like my whole life over the last 15 years or whatever. So there's a lot. But that was the beginning.
So you're involved into cyclocross and gravel biking. And from the looking from the outside of the bikes, it looks pretty much the same. But it's completely different because it's not the... cyclocross is a completely different sport than gravel biking. So what is the fascinating thing about the gravel bike, and what is the fascinating thing on the cyclocross?
Well, okay, so going back to what you had asked sort of before also, like just to clarify, I manage two teams. One I own, the other one is owned by Richard Sachs, the bicycle builder for the cyclocross team that I manage. The team that I own is called Velocio Exploro, and we are a women's gravel racing team, and we race all over the U.S. and go to all the biggest races, and also do local events in our communities that are near us because everybody on the team sort of lives spread out across the country. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of like a bit more about the teams that I'm involved in. I used to race for Richard Sachs doing cyclocross. Then at the end of the 2019 season, I decided I was like done training and racing. I would still race gravel, but I knew that the training that is required to race in the UCI pro cyclocross race for me to be able to keep up, I just didn't want to do the training anymore. So, so that was at the end of the 2019 season, and then nobody raced in 2020, basically. So, now it's like the first time that I'm seeing everybody else go to the races and I'm not going to the cyclocross races. So that's like an interesting experience right now because it's, you know, sort of for the first time, because for a million years I was going every weekend through the fall. But yeah, otherwise with the gravel stuff, like our gravel team has existed for, well, we started as a road team, and that was like 11 years ago or something. Mm-hmm. And basically that team, we were doing road and criteriums and like going to really high level, you know, USA Crit Series and Pro Road Tour stuff and like going all over the US racing these events. And it was, you know, we kind of like went as far as we could with what we had with that team. And I kind of got to the point of being exhausted on road stuff. And my teammate Cynthia said to me like, hey, what if we made this into a gravel team? And that was in the fall of 2018. And I was like, yeah, that's the only way that I'm going to keep doing this because I'm like so burnt. Yeah. And so basically at that point, Cynthia became the co-manager of the team with me, and we morphed it into a gravel team and pretty much, you know, just asked the sponsors like, hey, do you want to stay on board? We're going to switch what we're doing. And everybody was like, yeah, sounds great. And we were like, okay, perfect. Because, yeah, so it became a gravel team. And so now, now I am managing both the gravel and the cyclocross teams. And you were asking about like, what's the difference between them? I mean, there's so many differences, but I think like the length of the race is probably like the biggest. You know, with the gravel stuff, it's of course like 100 to 200 miles, with some being even longer. And that, you know, those races are taking like, you know, many hours, you know, up to, I don't know, it's like 5 to like 13 hours or more. It really just depends on the person and the terrain and all that. But then cyclocross is, you know, it's like an hour-long bike race. So, so there's differences.
Yeah, I think it's in the US it's gravel is so much more common than in Europe, and I think in Europe most people don't really understand the difference between cyclocross and gravel. And when you talk about the training as you did before, why is it so much harder to train for a cyclocross, or so different to train for a cyclocross race than to a gravel race, which is so much longer?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, I'm not a coach, so I've never claimed to be a coach, but in general, I think, you know, it's like you have to put in a lot of hours no matter what, but I think to get your body used to doing the gravel stuff, you really have to put in a lot of hours just to, you know, be able to tolerate the race. And with cyclocross, you also have to put in a lot of hours, but then you're also like fine tuning and sharpening the pointy part of your racing to be able to do, you know, this more compacted effort. So you have to have like the base, but then also the you know, the like, you know, more the high end. Like you have to be able to do efforts that are like really intense for 5 minutes, and you know, the whole race is only an hour, so you've got to be able to put it all into an hour. So,
Okay. Get you.
yeah.
So yeah, you have a woman's gravel team, and it looks like that there are a lot more women competing in this long gravel race. Why is it like this? What do you think?
You mean like there's more women in gravel than there are in other bike
Yeah,
sports?
definitely. I mean, definitely more women in gravel than in mountain biking, or in probably also in cyclocross, right?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't looked at like the percentage of like when you go to a cyclocross start line, if there's like 50 men and 35 women, what that is versus how many men there are at a gravel race start versus how many women. I don't know what the percentages are, but definitely when I've attended mountain bikes the few times that I have, like it that on a more casual level with mountain bikes, I think there's a lot more people in the gravel stuff. But I really didn't, you know, I think that in general, I would say like with gravel racing, there's such a variety of what you could make your day out to be. Like, it's not, you know, there are people who are going into a gravel event and they're like really focused on getting on the podium, and that is their objective for the day. But there's also people attending a gravel event who are, you know, they could be doing the length of the race that, you know, is the longest, or they could be doing a shorter one. Like it, you know, a lot of races will offer like 150 mile distance and a 100 mile distance and a 50 mile distance or something similar to that. So, you know, a lot of people will come to do the 50 because that is a good day on the bike for them. And I think that's you know, that's kind of interesting about gravel is that you've got like people who are coming for all different like experiences in their day. And there's also, you know, like the community environment after the race and before too. Like usually you show up in the town a day or two before and you know, there's some kind of pre-event, and you know, after the race there's food. And you know, I think all of that stuff comes together to make such a great experience overall. And it's not just like get in, get out, do the race. So I think that just, you know, it brings a lot of different people to want to come and be a part of it. Even if you're not able to put in all of the training hours that it requires to be on the podium, you know?
Okay. Cool. Yeah, I also have the feeling that with gravel it's so much, yeah, the surrounding everything is so much easier and more fun than these shorter and intense racing.
I mean, I think cyclocross is super fun too, but it's like, you know, for me, like if I was to go into a cyclocross race right now, like I'd be going into the UCI pro race and I would be dead last because I'm not doing the training for that. And yeah. So I'd have to like downgrade to be able to do a race so that I was racing in the more amateur category, you know, but that's why I'm not like, or I guess I could go to like a local race. But for the races that I've gone to in the past, like I would be dead last right now, and that's okay with me. But when I go to a gravel race, like it doesn't matter what place I am. I'm out there having a great time and, you know, riding with people and getting to have different experiences and see all of the sights around the area and that sort of thing. And then there are also people on my team who are just, you know, shredding and, you know, going for the podium. So, yeah. But both experiences can be fun. It's just, you know, in cyclocross, I loved the super hard effort for 1 hour and like, then it's over. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really fun. You know, there's both are great.
But the spirit is definitely different between one hour race and the 7 hour race, because you are suffering on such a other level. And then,
I mean, for sure. Like it's, yeah, it's taking different things out of you. But yeah, I think in general, like also US cyclocross races, like some of them could use a little bit more of the hoopla and like the party and like the food and stuff. Like there are some races that just don't have as much of like a good hangout kind of area. Like, you know, the races in Europe are sometimes more of a party. And, you know, I think that aspect can be great for an event as a whole. And I think gravel races have in the US have like done more of that sometimes. But the cyclocross races do too. It's just a matter of which ones. There are some that just don't do as much of it. And you kind of compare it to like a European cyclocross race and you're like, this is very different.
Yeah. So you're living in New York City. And to be honest, if you look from the outside of New York City, it's probably the worst place you can think of riding your bike. It's a lot of traffic, it's only asphalt, it's flat. But for you, it seems to work really great. So how does cycling in New York City looks like?
Well, I think, you know, there's basically, there's like two parks that everybody will go to for their training rides that are like an hour and a half or less. There's Prospect Park in Brooklyn and there's Central Park in New York City. Prospect is like half as long as Central Park. Mm-hmm. So Central Park is like just over 6 miles loop. And that is usable. It's okay. It's not amazing. It's what we have, you know? So basically like you're out there with people on city bikes, like commuting and, you know, and tourists who rented a bike and, people who are also training and then like people who are walking their dog and people who are jogging and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, you're competing for road space and, it's not like you can like doing like a solid 3 minute effort can be a challenge in Central Park because of the dodging and there are also stoplights and stuff like that. So, but you know, it's like, it's definitely, you know, we use it because we have to, but then otherwise, going over the George Washington Bridge, it's like everybody has to basically do that to get out of the city. So living on the Upper West Side, I'm a little bit closer than people in Brooklyn. So a lot of my friends will have to ride for like a half an hour before they get to where I am. And then we ride for like 20 minutes to get out of the city. So once you're over the bridge, though, you're in New Jersey and there's a park road and that's beautiful. And, you know, there's other options out there and you can just, you know, you can kind of ride forever out there. And, you know, there is gravel. You can find it. It's not plentiful, but you know, you can find it. And then also a lot of people from the city take the train to get out of the city a little bit farther, mm-hmm. and then we'll do rides from the train back to the train. So there's that. And then also my parents live outside of the city, like an hour and a half away. So I'll go to their house and ride out there often. Yeah.
Okay. So, but is it allowed to ride in Central Park and in the other park with your bike? Or is it like, yeah.
You're allowed to ride on the paved roads. Yeah. But you're totally supposed to ride on the paved roads. They love that. That's what that's for. Mm-hmm. And there's thousands of people riding, but you're not supposed to ride on the grass. So if you want to go off road, you can't really do it in, Central Park. I mean, you can, but you're not supposed to. And then in Prospect Park, there's like, I mean, in both parks, there are some little spots where you can find like a little trail that you can hop on, and it's a little bit, to the side of the main, paved section, and you can get some riding in there, and you can like work on skills and stuff. But it's, you know, it's not very long. Yeah. So you're not going to be able to like do miles and miles. So that, you know, yeah, you really have to like get out of the city to do that. But also in New York, we have on Wednesday nights, we have a cyclocross practice, which is great for anyone who wants to just get better at bike skills. And, you know, it could be for people into cyclocross or gravel, or just generally getting more comfortable on their bike. But basically that practice is at 7 o'clock on Wednesday nights on Randall's Island, which is an island between Manhattan and Queens. Mm-hmm. And basically it's got a bunch of our sports fields on it. So like when I was in high school, I grew up here in New York City. So, when I was in high school, we would go and play like soccer over there. So now we ride our bikes over there and we're doing cyclocross practice outside of the soccer field on like a little side of a hill. Yeah. And that's actually like the one area in the city where we have permission to ride on the grass, but the cyclocross practice gets canceled if it, has rained within like 24 hours or so before, okay. Cause they don't want us to like destroy everything there.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
Do you mostly start your rides from your apartment, or do you mostly get the train and go out of the city to get some longer rides in?
Most of my rides are from my apartment, or from my parents' house outside of the city. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think I looked on Strava recently and realized that I had well surpassed, and I haven't recorded all of my miles. Like I don't always upload to Strava, but like I have well surpassed the distance of riding across the United States in Central Park alone.
Okay. So
isn't that sad?
That means you know this park really, really well.
Yeah, it's so sad.
On a normal ride, how much asphalt and how much gravel do you have on your ride?
I mean, on a normal ride from New York City, it's going to be like, you're probably doing like 70 or 80% asphalt. Like just because of the distance that you need to get out of the city to get onto dirt. There's also recently, I think like last year, they opened up a new bridge, which is north of the city that goes from, so we have like the river, the Hudson River next to Manhattan. And basically we're crossing the George Washington Bridge to get over that river. But now north of the city, I forget how many miles it is. Maybe it's like 25 miles north. There's another bridge which used to not be open to cyclists, and they just opened it to cyclists last year. So now you can actually ride up one side of the river, cross the bridge that's at the top, and then ride down on the other side. And that actually adds more dirt because there's the OCA trail, which is it's like the old Croton Aqueduct Trail. I think, if I've got that right. But basically, it's like a dirt trail that goes behind a bunch of houses. And, you know, it's like a, you know, people are out there walking their dog and doing a jog and stuff. It's not like you're in nature, but it is a dirt trail. And you can ride it for like 25 miles north. So that is something. And it is now more accessible and more usable because the bridge being open makes your ride kind of have like a loop.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there are options. Some.
but when you're talking about these gravel practice and your friends who come over to join you on a ride, is there a real gravel community who go on a ride together, or do you mostly riding with one or two people?
I personally am usually more like alone or with like one or two people. I think, you know, there are definitely people who are going out on more longer rides together. And like, we'll go out to the Catskills or something. The Catskills is like the mountain area that is north of New York City. You have to drive like 2 hours to get out there or more. And, you know, folks will go together and like go plan a weekend of riding out there. So, you know, I've done stuff like that. And like, we have like a friend of mine hosts like a camp out kind of ride where we like go and, get out of the city and camp out, and do rides from the camping and like that sort of thing. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, yeah, there's other stuff to do besides going to, bike races to get out of the city and go ride. You just, you know, you make your own adventure, and there's plenty of great roads and great areas to get out to that are, you know, just a couple hours drive away from the city.
Yeah. So. Okay. So if you look on your Instagram account, you see that you're, you're racing a lot of gravel races, and you're traveling a lot around the US. So what has been your favorite race in the last years? I mean, I think you haven't competed so much gravel races, right? Because of
Corona. Yeah, I mean, right. So, like, I only started doing gravel in 2019. But also, it's, like, weird because I just didn't really realize anything was called gravel before. You know, for a while, like, I've always trained on as much dirt as I can find, you know, and, like, that's always been my favorite kind of riding. So, you know, even though like, yeah, even it's, I don't know. I feel like, I didn't know it was like called gravel before. I actually like the race up in Vermont called Overland. That race I did like, I think like 6 years ago or something. And it was, we more just saw it as like a cyclocross season opener. Mm-hmm. Rather than like a gravel race, you know, it was like I went on my cyclocross bike on my cyclocross tires and just, you know, that was, I guess, the beginning of me racing gravel. I just didn't really know what to call it. favorite race. I don't know if I was to pick from this year. I don't know. It's so tough. Like there's great experiences at all these races. I think that Rooted Vermont was a really fun event. I really liked the community events that they had surrounding it. Like the party the day before was really fun. And they asked our team to host a group ride the day before. And that was a really enjoyable experience for us as a team, and meeting all of these other people who were there to do the event. I really liked that. And, there's, you know, there are different, I mean, I think that at Rooted, I would have liked more of the like class four roads. So maybe the course was like, for me, could have been a little bit more, you know, like treacherous, but I really liked all of the event stuff. So I don't know. There's different qualities to different races
yeah.
that I enjoy. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So how difficult is it for you to prepare for these races? Or is it in New York City so technical with all the with all the traffic and all that stuff that you're good to go when
I
you
mean,
show up on the race?
well, I think for me, like, I've gained the skills over many years of riding cyclocross and, also doing the road racing and crits that I did before. So, I show up at a gravel race and I feel like I'm good to go in terms of like skills. Currently, in full honesty, like I'm not doing a bunch of training anymore, I'm riding at the pace that I feel like riding, and I'm going to the events as I am. And for me, that's where I'm at. And for other people on our team, other women on our team are training their hearts out and racing their hearts out to get on that podium. And I love that. I respect that, and I want to support that. And that's it gives me joy to see other people being able to pursue their athletic dreams. And for me, like I have done that to the extent that I think I ever will. And now I'm not putting my heart and soul into training anymore. I'm bringing what I have to the race and being happy with the experience that I get by doing that, and that's I'm totally into that experience now. And that's it's not something that in the past, like I would have wanted to go to an event unless, I don't know, like in the past I would have wanted to come prepared, and I am prepared, but in a different way, because I'm not aiming for the podium personally. So, but this is like I've been racing for like 13 years or something. And so, now this is the where I'm at with it. And I love that I can show up at a gravel race and have a wonderful experience and help support my teammates to, do everything that they want to do in the race. It's just, it's not all about like training for me anymore.
So it's more about the experience than the podium. And
Yeah, for
yeah,
sure. And like the community and like being able to support and help my teammates get there, you
cool.
know.
Would you like to race outside of the US with gravel getting more and more popular here in Europe as well?
Yeah, I think it would be super rad. I've raced in Europe for doing cyclocross. And I totally enjoyed those experiences. And I've also gone and just ridden my bike, not for racing, in Europe, and had a great time. So I think for sure, like, if there was an event that was, maybe asking our team to come over and offering to help make it possible or something like that, then that would be like definitely more, we would hop on it. It's just tough, in terms of like affording things like that. If we, have to figure out how to, get there, get around, where to stay, all that stuff. So I think in the future it could definitely be possible, but yeah, I don't
So we would love to see
know.
you here in Europe. So, what are your goals for 2022? Do you have already some things in mind?
I like for me personally, I'm not like my goals are not like sport related. Like I just want to run a team and have people able to go and pursue what they want to push their body and mind to be able to do with their bike racing and help make that more accessible to them. So that's my goal. That's always my goal. I think with the team, like I think people on the team will have their own personal goals within the races. And some of those will be for getting on the podium. But also like you know, some of it is like just deciding to take on a race that they may not have otherwise thought they could really do. Like this year we had Cynthia and Rachel decided to go do the 350-mile Unbound XL race. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that was just like such an extreme effort. Yeah. And, you know, and I didn't say like, hey, you guys should go do this. And like, the team needs you to, they chose that. That was something that they decided that was what they wanted to do. And that was the challenge they wanted to take on. And I thought that was amazing and super cool. So I look forward to seeing the things that the riders decide to take on, whether it's racing goals or, you know, bike packing trips and like going out and doing something solo or just like doing an adventure that they might not have thought of doing before and, mm-hmm. you know, taking on a new challenge. So
that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That sounds really good. So thank you very much for taking the time for the podcast. So I wish you all the best for the rest of this year and of course for next year. And I hope we will see you really soon here in Europe and talk soon again.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it. Bye.